The 5th of February. Lord's Day. In the morning before church time, Mr. Hawley, who hath for this day or two looked something sadly, which, methought, did speak something in his breast concerning me, came to me, telling me that he was out £24, which he could not tell what was become of, and that he doth remember that he had such a sum in a bag the other day, and could not tell what he did with it, at which I was very sorry, but could not help him. In the morning to Mr. Gunning, where a stranger, an old man, preached a good honest sermon upon What manner of love is this that we should be called the sons of God? After sermon I could not find my wife, who promised to be at the gate against my coming out, and waited there a great while. Then went to my house, and finding her gone, I returned and called at the Chequer, thinking to dine at the ordinary with Mr. Chetwynd or Mr. Thomas. But they not being there, I went to my father and found her there, and there I dined. To their church in the afternoon, and in Mistress Turner's pew my wife took up a good black hood and kept it. A stranger preached a poor sermon, and so I read over the whole book of the story of Tobit. After sermon, home with Mistress Turner, stayed with her a little while, then she went into the court to a christening, and we to my father's, where I writ some notes for my brother John to give to the mercers tomorrow, it being the day of their apposition. After supper, home, and before going to bed I stood writing of this day its passages, while a drum came by, beating of a strange manner of beat, now and then a single stroke, which my wife and I wondered at what the meaning of it should be. This afternoon at church I saw Dick Cumberland at church, newly come out of the country from his living, but did not speak to him. The 6th of February. Before I went to my office, I went to Mr. Cruise and paid Mr. Andrews the same £60 that I had received of Mr. Calthrop the last week. So back to Westminster, and overtook Mr. Squibb, and walked with him thither, where we found the soldiers all set in the palace yard to make way for General Monk to come to the house. At the hall we parted, and meeting Swan, he and I to the Swan, and drank our morning draught, so back again to the hall, where I stood upon the steps and saw Monk go by, he making observance to the judges as he went along. At noon my father dined with me upon my turkey that was brought from Denmark, and after dinner he and I to the Bull Head Tavern, where we drank half a pint of wine, and so parted. I to Mistress Anne, and Mistress Jemima being gone out of the chamber, she and I had a very high bout. I rattled her up, she being in her bed, but she becoming more cool, we parted pretty good friends. Thence I went to Will's, where I stayed at cards till 10 o'clock, lost half a crown, and so home to bed. The 7th of February. In the morning I went early to give Mr. Hawley notice of my being forced to go into London, but he having also business, we left our office business to Mr. Spicer, and he and I walked as far as the Temple, where I halted a little, and then went to Paul's school, but it being too soon I went and drank my morning draught with my cousin Thomas Pepys, the turner, and saw his house and shop. Thence to school, where he that made the speech for the seventh form in praise of the founder, did show a book that Mr. Crumlum had lately got, which is believed to be of the founder's own writing. After all the speeches in which my brother John came off as well as any of the rest, I went straight home and dined. Then to the hall, where in the palace I saw Monk's soldiers abuse Billing and all the Quakers that were at a meeting place there, and indeed the soldiers did use them very roughly and were to blame. So after drinking with Mr. Spicer, who had received £600 for me this morning, I went to Captain Stone, and with him by coach to the Temple Garden, all the way talking of the disease of the stone, where we met Mr. Squibb, but could do nothing till tomorrow morning. Thence back on foot home, where I found a letter from my lord in character, which I construed. And after my wife had shown me some ribbon and shoes that she had taken out of a box of Mr. Montague's, which formerly Mr. Kipps had left her when his master was at sea, I went to Mr. Crewe, and advised with him about it, it being concerning my lord's coming up to town, which he desires upon my advice the last week in my letter. Thence, calling upon Mistress Anne, I went home and wrote in character to my lord an answer to his letter. This day Mr. Crewe told me that my Lord St. John's is for a free parliament, and that he is very great with Monk, who hath now the absolute command and power to do anything that he hath a mind to do. Mr. Moore told me of a picture hung up at the Exchange, of a great pair of buttocks shitting of a turd into Lawson's mouth, and over it was writ, "The Thanks of the House." Boys do now cry, "Kiss my Parliament," instead of "Kiss my ass," so great and general a contempt is the rump come to among all men, good and bad. The 8th of February. A little practice on my flageolet, and afterwards walking in my yard to see my stock of pigeons, which begin now with the spring to breed very fast. I was called on by Mr. Fosson, my fellow pupil at Cambridge, and I took him to the Swan in the palace yard and drank together our morning draught. Thence to my office, where I received money, and afterwards Mr. Carter, my old friend at Cambridge, meeting me as I was going out of my office, I took him to the Swan, and in the way I met with Captain Lidcott, and so we three went together and drank there, the captain talking as high as ever he did, and more, because of the fall of his brother Thurlow. Hence I went to Captain Stone, who told me how Squibb had been with him, and that he could do nothing with him. So I returned to Mr. Carter, and with him to Will's, where I spent upon him and Monsieur L'Impertinent, alias Mr. Butler, who I took thither with me, and thence to the Rhenish Winehouse, and in our way met with Mr. Hoole, where I paid for my cousin Roger Pepys his wine, and after drinking, we parted. So I home, in my way, delivering a letter which among the rest I had from my lord today to Sir William Wheeler. At home, my wife's brother brought her a pretty black dog, which I liked very well, and went away again. Hence, sending a porter with the hamper of bottles to the Temple, I called in my way upon Mistress Jem, who was much frighted till I came to tell her that her mother was well. So to the Temple, where I delivered the wine, and received the money of my cousin Roger that I laid out, and thence to my father's, where he showed me a base angry letter that he had newly received from my uncle Robert about my brother John, at which my father was very sad. But I comforted him and wrote an answer. My brother John hath an exhibition granted him from the school. My father and I went down to his kitchen, and there we ate and drank. And about 9 o'clock I went away homewards, and in Fleet Street received a great jostle from a man that had mind to take the wall, which I could not help. I came home and to bed. Went to bed with my head not well, by my too much drinking today, and I had a boil under my chin which troubled me cruelly. The 9th of February. As soon as out of my bed, I wrote letters into the country to go by the carrier today. Before I was out of my bed, I heard the soldiers very busy in the morning, getting their horses ready where they lay at Hilton's, but I knew not then their meaning in so doing. After I had writ my letters, I went to Westminster up and down the hall, and with Mr. Swan walked a little, talking about Mr. Downing's business, and went with him to Mr. Phelps's house, where he had some business to solicit, where we met Mr. Rogers, my neighbour, who did solicit against him, and talked very high, saying that he would not for £1,000 appear in a business that Swan did, at which Swan was very angry, but I believe he might be guilty enough. In the hall I understand how Monk is this morning gone into London with his army, and met with Mr. Fage, who told me that he doth believe that Monk is gone to secure some of the common council of the city, who were very high yesterday there, and did vote that they would not pay any taxes till the house was filled up. Up I went to my office, where I wrote to my lord after I had been at the upper bench, where Sir Robert Pye this morning came to desire his discharge from the Tower, but it could not be granted. After that I went to Mistress Jemima, who I had promised to go along with to her Aunt Wright's, but she was gone, so I went thither and after, drinking a glass of sack, I went back to Westminster Woods, and meeting with Mr. Pierce, the surgeon, who would needs take me home with him, where Mr. Lucy, Burrell, and others dined. And after dinner I went home and to Westminster Hall, where, meeting Swan, I went with him by water to the Temple, to our council, and did give him a fee to make a motion to-morrow in the Exchequer for Mr. Downing. And thence to the hall, where I heard a cause very finely pleaded between my Lord Dorset and some other noble persons, his lady and other ladies of quality being there, and it was about £330 per annum that was to be paid to a poor spittle, which was given by some of his predecessors and given on his side. Thence Swan and I to a drinking-house near Temple Bar, where, while he writ, I played of my flageolet till a dish of poached eggs was got ready for us, which we ate, and so by coach home. I called at Mr. Harper's, who told me how Monk had this day clapped up many of the common council, and that the Parliament had voted that he should pull down their gates and portcullises, their posts and their chains, which he doth intend to do, and doth lie in the city all night. I went home and got some alum to my mouth, where I have the beginnings of a canker, and have also a plaster to my boil underneath my chin. The 10th of February. In the morning I went to Mr. Swan, who took me to the Court of Wards, where I saw the three Lord Commissioners setting upon some cause where Mr. Scobel was concerned, and my Lord Fontaine took him up very roughly about something that he said. After that we went to the Exchequer, where the barons were hearing of causes, and there I made affidavit that Mr. Downing was gone into Holland by order of the Council of State, and this affidavit I gave to Mr. Stevens, our lawyer. Thence to my office, where I got money of Mr. Hawley to pay the lawyer, and there found Mr. Leonard, one of the clerks of the council, and took him to the Swan and gave him his morning draught. Then home to dinner, and after that to the Exchequer, where I heard all the afternoon a great many causes before the barons. In the end came ours, and Squibbed proved clearly by his patent that the houses and office did now belong to him. Our lawyer made some kind of opposition, but to no purpose, and so the cause was found against us, and the foreman of the jury brought in £10 damages, which the whole court cried shame of, and so he cried twelvepence. Thence I went home, vexed about this business, and there I found Mr. Moore, and with him went into London to Mr. Fage about the canker in my mouth, which begins to grow dangerous, who gave me something for it, and also told me what Monk had done in the city, how he had pulled down the most part of the gates and chains that they could break down, and that he was now gone back to Whitehall. The city look mighty blank, and cannot tell what in the world to do, the Parliament having this day ordered that the Common Council sit no more, but that new ones be chosen according to what qualifications they shall give them. Thence I went and drank with Mr. Moore at the Sugar Loaf by Temple Bar, where Swan and I was last night, and so we parted. At home I found Mr. Hunt, who sat talking with me a while, and so to bed. The 11th of February. This morning I lay long abed, and then to my office, where I read all the morning my Spanish book of Rome. At noon I walked in the hall, where I heard the news of a letter from Monk, who was now gone into the city again, and did resolve to stand for the sudden filling up of the house. And it was very strange how the countenance of men in the hall was all changed with joy in half an hour's time. So I went up to the lobby, where I saw the speaker reading of the letter, and after it was read, Sir Arthur Hazelrig came out very angry, and Billing, standing at the door, took him by the arm and cried, "Thou man, will thy beast carry thee no longer? Thou must fall." The house presently after rose, and appointed to meet again at 3 o'clock. I went then down into the hall, where I met with Mr. Chetwynd, who had not dined no more than myself, and so we went towards London, in our way calling at 2 or 3 shops, and could have no dinner. At last, within Temple Bar, we found a pullet ready roasted, and there we dined. After that he went to his office in Chancery Lane, calling at the rolls, where I saw the lawyers pleading, then to his office where I sat in his study singing while he was with his man, Mr. Powell's son, looking after his business. Thence we took coach for the city to Guildhall, where the hall was full of people expecting Monk and Lord Mayor to come thither, and all very joyful. Here we stayed a great while, and at last, meeting with a friend of his, we went to the Three Tun Tavern, and drank half a pint of wine, and not liking the wine we went to an ale-house, where we met with company of this third man's acquaintance, and there we drank a little. Hence I went alone to Guildhall to see whether Monk was come yet or no, and met him coming out of the chamber, where he had been with the mayor and aldermen. But such a shout I never heard in all my life, crying out, "God bless your excellence!" Here I met with Mr. Locke, and took him to an alehouse, and left him there to fetch Chetwynd. When we were come together, Locke told us the substance of the letter that went from Monk to the Parliament, wherein, after complaints that he and his officers were put upon such offices against the city, as they could not do with any content or honour, that there are many members now in the House that were of the late tyrannical Committee of Safety, that Lambert and Vane are now in town, contrary to the vote of Parliament, that there was many in the House that do press for new oaths to be put upon men, whereas we have more cause to be sorry for the many others that we have already taken and broken, that the late petition of the fanatic people, presented by Barebone, for the imposing of an oath upon all sort of people, was received by the House with thanks, that therefore he doth desire that all writs for filling up of the House be issued by Friday next, and that in the meantime he would retire into the city, only leave them guards for the security of the House and Council. The occasion of this was the order that he had last night, to go into the city and disarm them and take away their charter, whereby he and his officers see that the House had a mind to put them on things that should make them odious, and so it would be in their power to do what they would with them. He told us that they had sent Scott and Robinson to him this afternoon, but he would not hear them, and that the mayor and aldermen had offered him their own houses for himself and his officers, and that his soldiers would lack for nothing. And indeed I saw many people give the soldiers drink and money, and all along in the streets cried, "God bless them," and extraordinary good words. Hence we three went to a merchant's house hard by, where Locke writ a note and left, where I saw Sir Nicholas Crisp, and so we went to the Star Tavern, Monk being then at Benson's, where we drank, and I wrote a letter to my lord from thence. In Cheapside there was a great many bonfires, and Bow Bells, and all the bells in all the churches, as we went home, were a-ringing. Hence we went homewards, it being about 10 o'clock. But the common joy that was everywhere to be seen, the number of bonfires, there being 14 between St. Dunstan's and Temple Bar, and at Strandbridge I could at one view tell 31 fires, in King Street 7 or 8, and all along burning and roasting and drinking for rumps, there being rumps tied upon sticks and carried up and down. The butchers at the Maypole in the Strand rang a peal with their knives when they were going to sacrifice their rump. On Ludgate Hill there was one turning of the spit, that had a rump tied upon it, and another basting of it. Indeed it was past imagination, both the greatness and the suddenness of it. At one end of the street you would think there was a whole lane of fire, and so hot that we were fain to keep still on the further side, merely for heat. We came to the Chequer at Charing Cross, where Chetwynd wrote a letter, and I gave him an account of what I had writ for him to write. Thence home, and sent my letter to the post-house in London, and my wife and I, after Mr. Hunt was gone, whom I found waiting for me at my house, went out again to show her the fires, and after walking as far as the Exchange, we returned, and to bed. The 12th of February. In the morning, it being Lord's Day, Mr. Pierce came to me to inquire how things go, We drank our morning draught together and thence to Whitehall, where Dr. Holmes preached, but I stayed not to hear. But walking in the court, I heard that Sir Arthur Hazelrigg was newly gone into the city to Monk, and that Monk's wife removed from Whitehall last night. Home again, where at noon came, according to my invitation, my cousin Thomas Pepys and his partner, came and dined with me. But before dinner we went and took a walk round the park, it being a most pleasant day as ever I saw. After dinner we three went into London together, where I heard that Monk had been at Paul's in the morning, and the people had shouted much at his coming out of the church. In the afternoon he was at a church in Broad Street, whereabout he doth lodge. But not knowing how to see him, we went and walked half an hour in Moorfields, which was full of people, it being so fine a day. Here I took leave of them, and so to Paul's, where I met with Mr. Curtin's apprentice, the crooked fellow, and walked up and down with him 2 hours, sometimes in the street looking for a tavern to drink at, but not finding any open, we durst not knock. Other times in the churchyard, where he told me that he had seen the letter printed. Hence to Mistress Turner's, where I found my wife, Mr. Edward Pepys, and Roger, and Mr. Armiger being there, to whom I gave as good an account of things as I could. And so to my father's, where Charles Glasscock was overjoyed to see how things are now, who told me how the boys had last night broke Barebone's windows. Hence home, and being near home we missed our maid, and was at a great loss, and went back a great way to find her. But when we could not see her we went homewards, and found her there, got before us, which we wondered at greatly. So to bed, where my wife and I had some high words upon my telling her that I would fling the dog, which her brother gave her, out at the window if he pissed the house any more. The 13th of February. To my office till noon, thence home to dinner, my mouth being very bad of the canker, and my left leg beginning to be sore again. After dinner I went to see Mistress Jem, and in the way met with Cato, on foot in the street, and talked with her a little. So home, and took my wife to my father's. In my way I went to Playford's, and for 2 books that I had, and 6 shillings 6pence to boot, I had my great book of songs, which he sells always for 14 shillings. At my father's I stayed a while my mother sent her maid, Bess, to Cheapside for some herbs to make a water for my mouth. Then I went to see Mr. Cumberland, and after a little stay with him, I returned and took my wife home, where, after supper, to bed. This day Monk was invited to Whitehall to dinner by my lord, not seeming willing, he would not come. I went to Mr. Fage from my father's, who had been this afternoon with Monk, who doth promise to live and die with the city, and for the honour of the city. And indeed the city is very open-handed to the soldiers, that they are most of them drunk all day, and have money given them. He did give me something for my mouth, which I did use this night. The 14th of February. Called out in the morning by Mr. Moore, whose voice my wife hearing in my dressing-chamber with me, she got herself ready and came down and challenged him for her valentine, this being that day. To Westminster Hall, there being many new remonstrances and declarations from many county to Monk and the city, and one coming from the north from Sir Thomas Fairfax. Hence I took him to the Swan, and gave him his morning draught. So to my office, where Mr. Hill of Worcestershire came to see me and my partner at our office, with whom we went to Will's to drink. At noon I went home, and so to Mr. Crewe's, but they had dined, and so I went to see Mistress Jem, where I stayed a while, and home again, where I stayed an hour or two at my lute, and so forth to Westminster Hall, where I heard that the Parliament hath now changed the oath so much talked to a promise, and that among other qualification for the members that are to be chosen, one is that no man, nor the son of any man that hath been in arms during the life of the father, shall be capable of being chosen to sit in Parliament. To Will's, where, like a fool, I stayed and lost 6pence at cards. So home and wrote a letter to my lord by the post, and so after supper to bed. This day, by an order of the house, Sir Henry Vane was sent out of town to his house in Lincolnshire. The 15th of February. Called up in the morning by Captain Holland, and Captain Cuttance, and with them to Harper's, thence to my office, thence with Mr. Hill of Worcester to Will's, where I gave him a letter to Nan Pepys, and some merry pamphlets against the rump, to carry to her into the country. So to Mr. Crewe's, where the dining-room being full, Mr. Walgrave and I dined below in the buttery by ourselves, upon a good dish of buttered salmon. Thence to Herring, the merchant, about my lord's Worcester money, and back to Paul's churchyard, where I stayed reading in Fuller's History of the Church of England an hour or two. And so to my father's, where Mr. Hill came to me, and I gave him direction what to do at Worcester about the money. Thence to my lady Wright's, and gave her a letter from my lord privately. So to Mistress Jem, and sat with her, who dined at Mr. Crewe's today, and told me that there was at her coming away at least 40 gentlemen, I suppose members that were secluded, for Mr. Walgrave told me that there was about 30 met there the last night, came dropping in one after another thither. Hence home, and wrote into the country against tomorrow by the carrier, and so to bed. At my father's I heard how my cousin Kate Joyce had a fall yesterday from her horse, and had some hurt thereby. No news today, but all quiet to see what the Parliament will do about the issuing of the writs tomorrow, for filling up of the house according to Monk's desire. The 16th of February. In the morning at my lute. Then came Shaw and Hawley, and I gave them their morning draft at my house. So to my office, where I writ by the carrier to my lord, and sealed my letter at Will's, and gave it old East to carry it to the carrier's, and to take up a box of China oranges and two little barrels of scallops at my house, which Captain Cuttant sent to me for my lord. Here I met with Osborne and with Shaw and Spicer, and then we went to the Sun Tavern in expectation of a dinner, where we had sent us only two trencherfuls of meat, at which we were very merry, while in came Mr. Wade and his friend Captain Moyses, who told us of his hopes to get an estate merely for his namesake. And here we stayed till 7 at night, I winning a quart of sack of Shaw, that one trencherful that was sent us was all lamb, and he that it was veal. I, by having but threepence in my pocket, made shift to spend no more, whereas if I had had more, I had spent more, as the rest did. So that I see it is an advantage to a man to carry little in his pocket. Home, and after supper and a little at my lute, I went to bed. The 17th of February. In the morning, Tom, that was my lord's footboy, came to see me, and had 10 shillings of me of the money of his which I have to keep of his, so that now I have but 35 shillings more of his. Then came Mr. Hill, the instrument maker, and I consulted with him about the altering of my lute and my viol. After him I went into my study and made up my accounts, and find that I'm about £40 beforehand in the world, and that is all. So to my office, and from thence brought Mr. Hawley home with me to dinner, and after dinner wrote a letter to Mr. Downing about his business, and gave it Hawley. And so I went to Mr. Gunning's to his weekly fast, and after sermon, meeting there with Mr. Lampertinon, we went and walked in the park till it was dark. I played on my pipe at the Echo, and then drank a cup of ale at Jacob's. So to Westminster Hall, and he with me, where I heard that some of the members of the House was gone to meet with some of the secluded members, and General Monk, in the city. Hence we went to Whitehall, thinking to hear more news, where I met with Mr. Hunt, who told me how Monk had sent for all his goods that he had had here into the city. And yet again he told me that some of the members of the House had this day laid in firing into their lodgings at Whitehall for a good while, so that we are at a great stand to think what will become of things, whether Monk will stand to the Parliament or no. Hence Monsieur Lampertinon and I to Harper's, and there drank a cup or two to the King, and to his fair sister Frances good health, of whom we had much discourse of her not being much the worse for the smallpox which she had this last summer. So home and to bed. This day we were invited to my Uncle Fenner's wedding feast, but went not, this being the 27th year. The 18th of February. A great while at my viol and voice, learning to sing Fly Boy, without book. So to my office, where little to do. In the hall I met with Mr. Eglin and one Looker, a famous gardener, servant to my Lord Salisbury, and among other things, the gardener told a strange passage in good earnest, how formerly Mr. Eglin did, in his company, put his finger, which being sore had a black case over it, into a woman's belly. He named her Nan, which I guess who it is, and left his case within her, which Mr. Eglin blushed, but did not deny it. Which truly I was sorry to hear, and did think of it a good while afterward. Home to dinner, and then went to my lord's lodgings, to my turret there, and took away most of my books, and sent them home by my maid. Hither came Captain Holland to me, who took me to the Half Moon Tavern, and Mr. Southern, Blackburn's clerk. Thence he took me to the Mitre in Fleet Street, where we heard, in a room over the music room, very plainly through the ceiling. Here we parted, and I to Mr. Wotton's, and with him to an alehouse, and drank, where he told me a great many stories of comedies which he had formerly seen acted, and the names of the principal actors, and gave me a very good account of it. Hence to Whitehall, where I met with Llewellyn, and at the clerk's chamber wrote a letter to my lord. So home and to bed. This day two soldiers were hanged in the Strand for their late mutiny at Somerset House. The 19th of February, Lord's Day. Early in the morning, I set my books that I brought home yesterday up in order in my study. Thence forth to Mr. Harper's to drink a draught of Pearl, whither, by appointment, Monsieur Lampertinon, who did intend, too, upon my desire to go along with me to St. Bartholomew's, to hear one Mr. Sparks. But it raining very hard, we went to Mr. Gunning's, and heard an excellent sermon. And speaking of the character that the Scripture gave of Anne, the mother of the Blessed Virgin, he did there speak largely in commendation of widowhood, and not as we do, to marry two or three wives or husbands, one after another. Here I met with Mr. Moore, and went home with him to dinner, where he told me the discourse that happened between the secluded members and the members of the House before Monk last Friday. How the secluded said that they did not intend by coming in to express revenge upon these men, but only to meet and dissolve themselves, and only to issue writs for a free Parliament. He told me how Hazelrig was afraid to have the candle carried before him, for fear that the people seeing him should do him hurt, and that he is afeard to appear in the city, that there is great likelihood that the secluded members will come in, and so Mr. Crewe and my lord are likely to be great men, at which I was very glad. After dinner there was many secluded members come in to Mr. Crewe, which, it being the Lord's Day, did make Mr. Moore believe that there was something extraordinary in the business. Hence home, and brought my wife to Mr. Messam's to hear him. And indeed he made a very good sermon, but only too eloquent for a pulpit. Here Mr. Lampertinon helped me to a seat. After sermon to my father's, and fell in discourse concerning our going to Cambridge the next week with my brother John. To Mistress Turner, where her brother, Mr. Edward Pepys, was there, and I sat a great while talking of public business of the times with him. So to supper to my father's. All supper talking of John's going to Cambridge. So home, and it raining, my wife got my mother's frieze mantle, and my brother John's hat, and so we went all along home and to bed. The 20th of February. In the morning at my lute, then to my office where my partner and I made even our balance. Took him home to dinner with me where my brother John came to dine with me. After dinner I took him to my study at home and at my Lord's, and gave him some books and other things against his going to Cambridge. After he was gone I went forth to Westminster Hall, where I met with Chetwynd, Simons and Gregory, and with them to Marsh's at Whitehall to drink, and stayed there a pretty while reading a pamphlet, well writ and directed to General Monk in praise of the form of monarchy, which was settled here before the wars. They told me how that Speaker Lentil doth refuse to sign the writs for choice of new members in the place of the excluded, and by that means the writs would not go out today. In the evening Simons and I to the coffee club, where nothing to do. Only I heard Mr. Harrington and my Lord of Dorset and another lord talking of getting another place, as the cockpit, and they did believe it would come to something. After a small debate upon the question whether learned or unlearned subjects are the best, the club broke off very poorly, and I do not think they will meet any more. Hence with Vines, etc., to Will's, and after a pot or two, home, and so to bed. The 21st of February. In the morning, going out, I saw many soldiers going toward Westminster, and was told that they were going to admit the secluded members again. So I to Westminster Hall, and in Chancery Row I saw about 20 of them, who'd been at Whitehall with General Monk, who came thither this morning and made a speech to them, and recommended to them a Commonwealth, and against Charles Stuart. They came to the house and went in one after another, and at last the Speaker came. But it is very strange that this could be carried so private, that the other members of the House heard nothing of all this, till they found them in the House, insomuch that the soldiers that stood there to let in the secluded members, they took for such as they had ordered to stand there to hinder their coming in. Mr. Prynne came with an old basket-hilt sword on, and had a great many great shouts upon his going into the hall. They sat till noon, and at their coming out, Mr. Crewe saw me, and bid me come to his house, which I did, and he would have me dine with him, which I did, and he very joyful. Told me that the House had made General Monk general of all the forces in England, Scotland, and Ireland, and that upon Monk's desire, for the service that Lawson had lately done in pulling down the Committee of Safety, he had the command of the sea for the time being. He advised me to send for my Lord forthwith, and told me that there is no question but if he will, he may now be employed again, and that the House doth intend to do nothing more than to issue writs, and to settle a foundation for a free Parliament. After dinner, I back to Westminster Hall with him in his coach. Here I met with Mr. Locke and Purcell, masters of music, and with them to the coffee-house, into a room next the water by ourselves, where we spent an hour or two till Captain Taylor came to us, who told us that the House had voted the gates of the city to be made up again, and the members of the city that are in prison to be let at liberty, and that Sir George Booth's case be brought into the House tomorrow. Here we had variety of brave Italian and Spanish songs, and a canon for 8 voices, which Mr. Locke had newly made on these words, Domine salvum fac regem, an admirable thing. Here also Captain Taylor began a discourse of something that he hath lately writ about Gavelkind, in answer to one that hath writ a piece upon the same subject, and indeed discovered a great deal of study in antiquity in his discourse. Here out of the window it was a most pleasant sight to see the city from one end to the other, with a glory about it, so high was the light of the bonfires, and so thick round the city, and the bells rang everywhere. Hence home and wrote to my Lord, afterward came down and found Mr. Hunt, troubled at this change, and Mr. Spong, who stayed late with me singing of a song or two, and so parted. My wife, not very well, went to bed before. This morning I met in the hall with Mr. Fuller of Christ's, and told him of my design to go to Cambridge, and whether. He told me very freely the temper of Mr. Widdrington, how he did oppose all the fellows in the college, and that there was a great distance between him and the rest, at which I was very sorry, for that he told me he feared it would be little to my brother's advantage to be his pupil. The 22nd of February. In the morning, intended to have gone to Mr. Crewe's to borrow some money, but it raining, I forbore, and went to my lord's lodging, and looked that all things were well there. Then home and sang a song to my viol. So to my office and to Will's, where Mr. Pierce found me out and told me that he would go with me to Cambridge, where Colonel Eyre's regiment, to which he is surgeon, lieth. Walking in the hall, I saw Major General Brown, who hath a long time been banished by the rump, but now, with his beard overgrown, he comes abroad and sat in the house. To my father's, to dinner, where nothing but a small dish of powdered beef and a dish of carrots, they being all busy to get things ready for my brother John to go tomorrow. After dinner, my wife staying there, I went to Mr. Crewe's and got £5 of Mr. Andrews, and so to Mistress Jemima, who now hath her instrument about her neck, and indeed is infinitely altered, and holds her head upright. I paid her maid 40 shillings of the money that I have received of Mr. Andrews. Hence home to my study, where I only writ thus much of this day's passages to this, and so out again. To Whitehall, where I met with Will Simons and Mr. Mabbott at Marsh's, who told me how the House had this day voted that the gates of the city should be set up at the cost of the state, and that Major General Brown's being proclaimed a traitor be made void, and several other things of that nature. Home for my lantern, and so to my father's, where I directed John what books to put up for Cambridge. After that to supper, where my Uncle Fenner and my aunt. Theophila Turner and Joyce at a brave leg of veal roasted, and were very merry against John going to Cambridge. I observed this day how abominably Barebone's windows are broke again last night. At past 9 o'clock my wife and I went home. The 23rd of February. Thursday. My birthday. Now 27 years. A pretty fair morning, I rose, and after writing a while in my study, I went forth. To my office, where I told Mr. Hawley of my thoughts to go out of town tomorrow. Hither Mr. Fuller comes to me, and my Uncle Thomas too, whence I took them to drink, and so put off my uncle. So with Mr. Fuller home to my house, where he dined with me, and he told my wife and I a great many stories of his adversities since these troubles, in being forced to travel in the Catholic countries, etc. He showed me his bills, but I had not money to pay him. We parted, and I to Whitehall, where I was to see my horse, which Mr. Garthwaite lend me tomorrow. So home, where Mr. Pierce comes to me about appointing time and place, where and when to meet tomorrow. So to Westminster Hall, where after the House rose, I met with Mr. Crewe, who told me that my lord was chosen by 73 voices to be one of the Council of State. Mr. Pierpoint had the most, 101, and himself next, 100. He brought me in the coach home, he and Mr. Anslow being in it. I back to the hall, and at Mrs. Mitchell's shop stood talking a great while with her and my chaplain, Mistress Mumford, and drank a pot or two of ale on a wager that Mr. Prynne is not of the council. Home, and writ to my lord the news of the choice of the council by the post, and so to bed. The 24th and 25th of February. I rose very early, and taking horse at Scotland Yard at Mr. Garthwaite's stable, I rode to Mr. Pierce's, who rose, and in a quarter of an hour, leaving his wife in bed, with whom Mr. Lucy methought was very free as she lay in bed, we both mounted, and so set forth about 7 of the clock, the day and the way very foul. About Ware, we overtook Mr. Blayton, brother-in-law to Dick Vines, who went thenceforward with us, and at Puckridge we baited, where we had a loin of mutton fried, and were very merry. But the way exceeding bad from Ware thither, then up again and as far as Foulmere, within 6 miles of Cambridge. My mare being almost tired, here we lay at the Chequer. playing at cards till supper, which was a breast of veal roasted. I lay with Mr. Pierce, who we left here the next morning upon his going to Hinchingbrook, to speak with my lord before his going to London, and we two came to Cambridge by 8 o'clock in the morning, to the Falcon, in the Petty Cury, where we found my father and brother very well. After dressing myself about 10 o'clock, my father, brother and I, to Mr. Widrington at Christ's College, who received us very civilly and caused my brother to be admitted, while my father, he and I, sat talking. After that done, we take leave. My father and brother went to visit some friends, Pepys's, scholars in Cambridge, while I went to Magdalen College to Mr. Hill, with whom I found Mr. Zanchy, Burton, and Hollins, and was exceeding civilly received by them. I took leave on promise to sup with them, and to my inn again, where I dined with some others that were there at an ordinary. After dinner, my brother to the college, and my father and I to my cousin Anger's, to see them, where Mr. Fairbrother came to us. Here we sat a while talking. My father, he went to look after his things at the carrier's and my brother's chamber, while Mr. Fairbrother, my cousin Anger, and Mr. Zanchy, who I met at Mr. Morton's shop, where I bought a Lencus Mortuum, having given my former to Mr. Downing when he was here, to the Three Tuns, where we drank pretty hard and many healths to the king, etc., till it begin to be darkish. Then we broke up, and I and Mr. Zanchy went to Magdalen College, where a very handsome supper at Mr. Hill's chamber, I suppose upon a club among them, where in their discourse I could find that there was nothing at all left of the old preciseness in their discourse, especially on Saturday nights. And Mr. Zanchy told me that there was no such thing nowadays among them at any time. After supper and some discourse, then to my inn, where I found my father in his chamber, and after some discourse, and he well satisfied with this day's work, we went to bed, my brother lying with me, his things not being come by the carrier that he could not lie in the college. The 26th of February. Sunday. My brother went to the college to chapel. My father and I went out in the morning and walk out in the fields behind King's College, and in King's College chapel yard. And there we met with Mr. Fairbrother, who took us to Bottle's Church, where we heard Mr. Nicholas of Queen's College, who I knew in my time to be Tripos with great applause, upon this text, "For thy commandments are broad." Thence my father and I to Mr. Widrington's chamber to dinner, where he used us very courteously again, and had two fellow commoners at table with him, and Mr. Pepper, a fellow of the college. After dinner, while we sat talking by the fire, Mr. Pierce's man, to tell me that his master was come to town. So my father and I took leave, and found Mr. Pierce at our inn, who told us that he had lost his journey, for my lord was gone from Hinchingbrook to London on Thursday last, at which I was a little put to a stand. So after a cup of drink, I went to Magdalen College to get the certificate of the college for my brother's entrance there, that he might save his year. I met with Mr. Burton in the court, who took me to Mr. Petchell's chamber, where he was, and Mr. Zanchy. By and by Mr. Petchell and Zanchy and I went out, Petchell to church, Zanchy and I to the Rose Tavern, where we sat and drank till sermon done. And then Mr. Petchell came to us, and we three sat drinking the king's and his whole family's health, till it begin to be dark. Then we parted. Zanchy and I went to my lodging, where we found my father and Mr. Pierce at the door, and I took them both and Mr. Blayton to the Rose Tavern, and there gave them a quart or two of wine, not telling them that we had been there before. After that we broke up, and my father, Mr. Zanchy, and I to my cousin Anger's to supper, where I caused two bottles of wine to be carried from the Rose Tavern, but was drank up, and I had not the wit to let them know at table that it was I that paid for them, and so lost my thanks for them. After supper, Mr. Fairbrother, who supped there with us, took me into a room by himself and showed me a pitiful copy of verses upon Mr. Prynne, which he esteemed very good, and desired that I would get them given to Mr. Prynne, in hopes that he would get him some place for it, which I said I would do, but did laugh in my sleeve to think of his folly, though indeed a man that hath always expressed great civility to me. After that we sat down and talked. I took leave of all my friends, and so to my inn, where, after I had wrote a note and enclosed the certificate to Mr. Widdrington, I bade good night to my father, and John went to bed, but I stayed up a little while, playing the fool with the lass of the house at the door of the chamber, and so to bed. The 27th of February. Up by 4 o'clock, and after I was ready, took my leave of my father, whom I left in bed, and the same of my brother John, to whom I gave 10 shillings. Mr. Blayton and I took horse, and straight to Saffron Walden, where at the White Hart we set up our horses, and told the master of the house to show us Audley End House, who took us on foot through the park, and so to the house, where the housekeeper showed us all the house, in which the stateliness of the ceilings, chimney-pieces, and form of the whole was exceedingly worth seeing. He took us into the cellar, where we drank most admirable drink, a health to the king. Here I played on my flageolet, there being an excellent echo. He showed us excellent pictures, two especially, those of the 4 evangelists and Henry the 8th. After that I gave the man 2 shillings for his trouble and went back again. In our going my landlord carried us through a very old hospital or almshouse, where 40 poor people were maintained, a very old foundation, and over the chimney in the mantelpiece was an inscription in brass, Orate pro anima Tomai Bird, etc., and the pause box also was in the same chimney-piece, with an iron door and locks to it, into which I put 6 pence. They brought me a draught of their drink in a brown bowl, tipped with silver, which I drank of, and at the bottom was a picture of the Virgin and the child in her arms, done in silver. So we went to our inn, and after eating of something and kissed the daughter of the house, she being very pretty, we took leave. And so that night, the road pretty good, but the weather rainy, to Epping, where we sat and played a game at draughts, and after supper and some merry talk with a plain, bold maid of the house, we went to bed. The 28th of February. Up in the morning, and had some red herrings to our breakfast, while my boot-heel was amending. By the same token, the boy left the hole as big as it was before. Then to horse, and for London through the forest, where we found the way good, but only in one path, which we kept as if we had rode through a kennel all the way. We found the shops all shut, and the militia of the Red Regiment in arms at the old exchange, among which I found and spoke to Nicholas Osborne, who told me that it was a Thanksgiving day through the city for the return of the Parliament. At Paul's I light, Mr. Blayton holding my horse, where I found Dr. Reynolds in the pulpit, and General Monk there, who was to have a great entertainment at Grocer's Hall. So home, where my wife, and all well. Shifted myself, and so to Mr. Cruz, and then to Sir Harry Wright's, where I found my lord at dinner, who called for me in and was glad to see me. There was at dinner also Mr. John Wright, and his lady, a very pretty lady, Alderman Allen's daughter. I dined here with Will Howe, and after dinner went out with him to buy a hat, calling in my way and saw my mother, which we did at the Plough in Fleet Street by my lord's direction, but not as for him. Here we met with Mr. Pierce a little before, and he took us as we were coming from my mother's to the Greyhound Tavern, and gave us a pint of wine, and, as the rest of the seamen do, talks very high again of my lord. After we had done about the hat, we went homeward, he to Mr. Cruz, and I to Mistress Jem, and sat with her a little. Then home, where I found Mr. Shepley, almost drunk, come to see me. Afterward, Mr. Spong comes, with whom I went up and played with him a duo or two, and so good night. I was indeed a little vexed with Mr. Shepley, but said nothing, about his breaking open of my study at my house, merely to give him the key of the stair door at my lord's, which lock he might better have broke than mine. the 29th of February. To my office and drank at Will's with Mr. Moore, who told me how my lord is chosen general at sea by the council, and that it is thought that Monk will be joined with him therein. Home and dined. After dinner, my wife and I by water to London, and thence to Herring's, the merchant in Coleman Street, about £50, which he promises I shall have on Saturday next. So to my mother's, and then to Mistress Turner's, of whom I took leave and her company, because she was to go out of town tomorrow with Mr. Pepys into Norfolk. Here my cousin Norton gave me a brave cup of metheglin, the first I ever drank. To my mother's and supped there. She showed me a letter to my father from my uncle, inviting him to come to Brampton while he's in the country. So home and to bed. This day my lord came to the house, the first time since he came to town, but he had been at the council before. March 1660, the first. In the morning went to my lord's lodgings, thinking to have spoke with Mr. Shepley, having not been to visit him since my coming to town. But he being not within, I went up, and out of the box where my lord's pamphlets lay, I chose as many as I had a mind to have for my own use, and left the rest. Then to my office, where little to do. But Mr. Shepley comes to me, so at dinner-time he and I went to Mr. Crewe's, whither Mr. Thomas was newly come to town, being sent with Sir Henry Yelverton, my old schoolfellow at Paul's School, to bring the thanks of the county to General Monk for the return of the Parliament. But old Mr. Crewe and my lord not coming home to dinner, we tarried late before we went to dinner. It being the day that John, Mr. John Crewe's coachman, was to be buried in the afternoon, he being a day or two before killed with a blow of one of his horses that struck his skull into his brains. From thence Mr. Shepley and I went into London to Mr. Laxton's, my lord's apothecary, and so by water to Westminster, where at the Sun he and I spent 2 or 3 hours at a pint or two of wine, discoursing of matters in the country, among other things telling me that my uncle did to him make a very kind mention of me, and what he would do for me. Thence I went home, and went to bed betimes. This day the Parliament did vote that they would not sit longer than the 15th day of this month. The 2nd of March. This morning I went early to my lord at Mr. Crewe's, where I spoke to him. Here were a great many, too, come to see him, as Secretary Thurlow, who is now by this Parliament chosen again Secretary of State. There was also General Monk's trumpeters to give my lord a sound of their trumpets this morning. Thence I went to my office, and wrote a letter to Mr. Downing about the business of his house. Then, going home, I met with Mr. Eglin, Chetwynd, and Thomas, who took me to the Leg in King Street, where we had 2 brave dishes of meat, one of fish, a carp and some other fishes, as well done as ever I ate any. After that to the Swan Tavern, where we drank a quart or two of wine, and so parted. So I to Mistress Jemima, and took Mr. Moore with me, who I met in the street. And there I met Will Howe and Shepley. After that to Westminster Hall, where I saw Sir George Booth at liberty. This day I hear the city militia is put into a good posture, and it is thought that Monk will not be able to do any great matter against them now, if he have a mind. I understand that my Lord Lambert did yesterday send a letter to the council, and that tonight he is to come and appear to the council in person. Sir Arthur Hazelrig doth not yet appear in the house. Great is the talk of a single person, and that it would now be Charles, George, or Richard again. For the last of which my Lord St. John's is said to speak high. Great also is the dispute now in the house, in whose name the writs shall run for the next Parliament. And it is said that Mr. Prynne, in open house, said, in King Charles's. From Westminster Hall, home. Spent the evening in my study, and so, after some talk with my wife, then to bed. The 3rd of March. To Westminster Hall, where I found that my lord was last night voted one of the generals at sea, and Monk the other. I met my lord in the hall, who bade me come to him at noon. I met with Mr. Pierce, the purser, Lieutenant Lambert, Mr. Creed, and Will Howe, and went with them to the Sun Tavern. Up to my office, but did nothing. At noon, home to dinner to a sheep's head. My brother Tom came and dined with me, and told me that my mother was not very well, and that my Aunt Fenner was very ill too. After dinner, I to Warwick House in Holborn to my lord, where he dined with my lord of Manchester, Sir Dudley North, my lord Fiennes, and my lord Berkeley. I stayed in the great hall talking with some gentlemen there till they all came out. Then I by coach with my lord to Mr. Crewe's, in our way talking of public things, and how I should look after getting of his commission's dispatch. He told me he feared there was new design hatching, as if Monk had a mind to get into the saddle. Here I left him and went by appointment to Herring the merchant, but missed of my money, at which I was much troubled, but could not help myself. Returning, met with Mr. Gifford, who took me and gave me half a pint of wine, and told me, as I this day hear from many, that things are in a very doubtful posture, some of the Parliament being willing to keep the power in their hands. After I had left him, I met with Tom Harper, who took me to a place in Drury Lane, where we drank a great deal of strong water, more than ever I did in my life at one time before. He talked hog high that my Lord Protector would come in place again, which indeed is much discoursed of again, though I do not see it possible. Hence home, and writ to my father at Brampton by the post. So to bed. This day I am told that my Lord General Fleetwood told my lord that he feared the King of Sweden is dead of a fever at Gothenburg. The 4th of March. Lord's Day. Before I went to church, I sang Orpheus's hymn to my viol. After that, to Mr. Gunning's, an excellent sermon upon charity. Then to my mother to dinner, where my wife and the maid was come. After dinner, we three to Mr. Messam's, where we met Monsieur Lampertinon, who got us a seat and told me a ridiculous story, how that last week he had caused a simple citizen to spend £80 in entertainments of him and some friends of his, upon pretence of some service that he would do him in his suit after a widow. Then to my mother again, and after supper she and I talked very high about religion, I in defence of the religion I was born in. Then home. The 5th of March. Early in the morning Mr. Hill comes to string my theorbo, which we were about till past 10 o'clock, with a great deal of pleasure. Then to Westminster, where I met with Mr. Shepley and Mr. Pinckney at Will's, who took me by boat to Billingsgate at the Salutation Tavern, whither by and by Mr. Talbot and Adams came, and bring a great good meat, a ham of bacon, etc. Here we stayed and drank till Mr. Adams began to be overcome. Then we parted, and so to Westminster by water, only seeing Mr. Pinckney at his own house, where he showed me how he hath alway kept the lion and unicorn in the back of his chimney bright, in expectation of the King's coming again. At home I found Mr. Hunt, who told me how the Parliament have voted that the Covenant be new printed and hung in churches again. Great hopes of the King's coming again. To bed. The 6th of March, Shrove Tuesday. I called Mr. Shepley, and we both went up to my lord's lodgings at Mr. Crewe's, where he bade us to go home again and get a fire against an hour after, which we did at Whitehall, whither he came, and after talking with him and I about his going to sea, he called me by myself to go along with him into the garden, where he asked me how things were with me, and what he hath endeavoured to do with my uncle to get him to do something for me, but that he would say nothing to. He likewise bade me look out now, at this turn, some good place, and he would use all his own and all the interest of his friends that he hath in England to do me good, and asked me whether I could, without too much inconvenience, go to sea as his secretary, and bade me think of it. He also began to talk of things of state, and told me that he should now want one in that capacity at sea that he might trust in, and therefore he would have me to go. He told me also that he did believe the king would come in, and did discourse with me about it, and about the affection of the people and city, at which I was full glad. After he was gone, I, waiting upon him through the garden till he came to the hall, I left him, and went up to my office, where Mr. Hawley brought one to me, a seaman that had promised £10 to him if he gat him a purser's place, which I think to endeavour to do. Here comes my Uncle Thomas, who I took to Will's and drank with. Poor man, he came to inquire about the Knights of Windsor, of which he desires to get to be one. While we were drinking, in comes Mr. Day, a carpenter in Westminster, to tell me that it was Shrove Tuesday, and that I must go with him to their yearly club upon this day, which I confess I had quite forgot. So I went to the Bell. Where was Misters Eglin, Veazey, Vincent a butcher, one more, and Mr. Tanner, with whom I played upon a viol, and he the violin, after dinner, and were very merry, with a special good dinner, a leg of veal and bacon, two capons and sausages and fritters, with abundance of wine. After that I went home, where I found Kate Stirpin, who hath not been here a great while before. She gone, I went to see Mistress Jem, at whose chamber door I found a couple of ladies, but she not being there, we hunted her out, and found that she and another had hid themselves behind a door. Well, they all went down into the dining-room, where it was full of tag, rag, and bobtail, dancing, singing, and drinking, of which I was ashamed, and so after I had stayed a dance or two, I went away. Going home, called at my lord's for Mr. Shepley, but found him at the Lion with a pewterer that he had bought pewter today of. With them I drank, and so home, and wrote by the post by my lord's command, for John Goods, to come up presently. For my lord intends to go forthwith into the Swiftshaw, till the Naseby be ready. This day I hear that the lords do intend to sit, and great store of them are now in town, and I see in the hall to-day. Overton at Hull doth stand out, but can, it is thought, do nothing. And Lawson, it is said, is gone with some ships thither, but all that is nothing. My lord told me that there was great endeavours to bring in the Protector again, but he told me, too, that he did believe it would not last long if he were brought in. No, nor the king neither, though he seems to think that he will come in, unless he carry himself very soberly and well. Everybody now drink the king's health without any fear, whereas before it was very private that a man dare do it. Monk this day is feasted at Mercer's Hall, and is invited one after another to all the 12 halls in London. Many think that he is honest yet, and some or more think him to be a fool that would raise himself, but think that he will undo himself by endeavouring it. My mind, I must needs remember, hath been very much eased and joyed in my lord's great expression of kindness this day, and in discourse thereupon, my wife and I lay awake an hour or two in our bed. The 7th of March, Ash Wednesday. In the morning I went to my lord at Mr. Crewe's. In my way, Washington overtook me, and upon my question whether he know any place now void that I might have by power over friends, he told me that this day Mr. George Montague was to be made Custos Rotulorum for Westminster, and that by friends I might get to be named by him Clerk of the Peace, with which I was, as I am at all new things, very much joyed. So when I came to Mr. Crewe's, I spoke to my lord about it, who told me that he believed Mr. Montague had already promised it, and that it was given him only that he might gratify one person with the place I look for. Here among many that was here, I met with Mr. Lines, the chirurgeon, who promised me some seeds of the sensible plant. I spoke too with Mr. Pierce, the surgeon, who gave me great encouragement to go to sea with my lord. Hence going homeward, my lord overtook me in his coach and called me in, and so I went with him to St. James's, and George Montague being gone to Whitehall, we walked over the park thither, all the way he discoursing of the times and of the change of things since the last year, and wondering how he could bear with so great disappointment as he did. He did give me the best advice that he could what was best for me, whether to stay or go with him, and offered all the ways that could be how he might do me good, with the greatest liberty and love that could be. I left him at Whitehall, and myself went to Westminster to my office, whither nothing to do, but I did discourse with Mr. Falkenberg about L'Esquire's place, and have his consent to get it if I could. I afterwards in the hall met with William Simons, who put me in the best way how to get it done. Thence by appointment to the Angel in King Street, where Chetwynd, Mr. Thomas, and Doling was at oysters, and beginning Lent this day with a fish dinner. After dinner Mr. Thomas and I by water to London, where I went to Herrings and received the £50 of my lord's upon Frank's bill from Worcester. I gave in the bill, and set my hand to his book. Thence I went to Pope's Head Alley, and called on Adam Chard, and bought a catcall there. It cost me 2 groats. Thence went and gave him a cup of ale. After that to the Sun, behind the Exchange, where meeting my Uncle White by the way, I took him with me thither, and after drinking a health or two round at the Cock, Mr. Thomas being gone thither, we parted, he and I homewards. Parted at Fleet Street, where I found my father newly come home from Brampton very well, who left my uncle with his leg very dangerous, and he doth believe he cannot continue in that condition long. He tells me that my uncle did acquaint him very largely what he did intend to do with his estate, to make me his heir, and to give my brother Tom some things, and that my father and mother should have something likewise for to raise portions for John and Paul. I pray God he may be as good as his word. Here I stayed and supped, and so home, there being Joyce Norton there and Charles Glasscock. Going home I called at Wootton's and took home a pair of shoes. At home Mr. Shepley sat with me a little while, and so we all to bed. This news and my lord's great kindness make me very cheerful within. I pray God make me thankful. This day, according to order, Sir Arthur appeared at the house. What was done, I know not, but there was all the rumpers almost come to the house to-day. My lord did seem to wonder much why Lambert was so willing to be put into the Tower, and thinks he hath some design in it. But I think that he is so poor that he cannot use his liberty for debts, if he were at liberty, and so it is good and better for him to be there than anywhere else. The 8th of March. To Whitehall to bespeak some firing for my father at Shotts, and likewise to speak to Mr. Blackburn about Batters being gunner in the Wexford. Then to Westminster Hall, where there was a general damp over men's minds and faces, upon some of the officers of the army being about making a remonstrance against Charles Stuart, or any single person, etc. But at noon it was told that the general hath put a stop to it, and so all was well again. Here I met with Jasper, who was to look for me to bring me to my lord at the lobby, whither, sending a note to my lord, he comes out to me and gave me direction to look after getting some money for him from the Admiralty, saying that things are so unsafe that he would not lay out a farthing for the state till he had received some money of theirs. Home about 2 o'clock, and took my wife by land to Paternoster Row, to buy some paragon for a petticoat, and so home again. In my way meeting Mr. Moore, who went home with me while I ate a bit, and so back to Whitehall again, both of us. He waited at the council for Mr. Crewe, I to the Admiralty, where I got the order for the money, and have taken care for the getting of it assigned upon Mr. Hutchinson, treasurer for the Navy, against tomorrow. Hence going home, I met with Mr. King that belonged to the Treasurers at War, and took him to Harper's, who told me how he and the rest of his fellows are cast out of office by the new Treasurers. This afternoon some of the officers of the army, and some of the Parliament, had a conference at Whitehall, to make all right again, but I know not what is done. This noon I met with Captain Holland at the Dog Tavern, with whom I advised how to make some advantage of my lord's going to sea, which he told me might be by having a 5 or 6 servants entered on board, and I to give them what wages I pleased, and so their pay to be mine. He was also very urgent to have me take the secretary place that my lord doth proffer me. At the same time in comes Mr. Wade and Mr. Sterry, secretary to the plenipotentiary in Denmark, who brought the news of the death of the King of Sweden at Gothenburg the 3rd day of the last month, and told me what a great change he found when he came hither, the secluded members being restored. He also spoke very freely of Mr. Wade's profit, which he made while he was in Zealand, and how he did believe that he cheated Mr. Powell, and that he made above £500 on the voyage, which Mr. Wade did very angrily deny, though I believe he was guilty enough. The 9th of March. To my lord at his lodging, and came to Westminster with him in the coach, with Mr. Dudley with him, and he in the painted chamber walked a good while, and I telling him that I was willing and ready to go with him to sea, he agreed that I should, and advised me what to write to Mr. Downing about it, which I did at my office, that by my lord's desire I offered that my place might for a while be supplied by Mr. Moore, and that I and my security would be bound by the same bond for him. I went and dined at Mr. Crewe's, where Mr. Hawley comes to me, and I told him the business and showed him the letter, promising him £20 a year, which he liked very well of. I did the same to Mr. Moore, which he also took for a courtesy. In the afternoon by coach, taking Mr. Butler with me, to the Navy Office about the £500 for my lord, which I am promised to have tomorrow morning. Then by coach back again, and at Whitehall at the Council Chamber spoke with my lord, and got him to sign the acquittance for the £500. And he also told me that he had spoke to Mr. Blackburn to put off Mr. Creed, and that I should come to him for direction in that employment. After this, Mr. Butler and I to Harper's, where we sat and drank for 2 hours till 10 at night. The old woman, she was drunk, begun to talk foolishly in commendation of her son James. Home and to bed. All night troubled in my thoughts how to order my business upon this great change with me, that I could not sleep, and being overheated with drink, I made a promise the next morning to drink no strong drink this week, for I find that it makes me sweat in bed and puts me quite out of order. This day it was resolved that the writs do go out in the name of the keepers of the liberty, and I do hear that it is resolved privately that a treaty be offered with the king, and that Monk did check his soldiers highly for what they did yesterday. The 10th of March. In the morning went to my father, whom I took in his cutting-house, and there I told him my resolution to go to sea with my lord, and consulted with him how to dispose of my wife, and at last resolved of letting her be at Mr. Bowyer's, thence to the treasurer of the navy, where I received £500 for my lord, and having left 200 of it with Mr. Rawlinson at his house for Shepley, I went with the rest to the Sun Tavern on Fish Street Hill, where Mr. Hill, Stevens, and Mr. Hayter of the Navy Office had invited me, where we had good discourse and a fine breakfast of Mr. Hayter. Then by coach home, where I took occasion to tell my wife of my going to sea, who was much troubled thereat, and was with some dispute at last willing to continue at Mr. Bowyer's in my absence. After that to see Mistress Jemima, and paid her maid £7, and then to Mr. Blackburn, who told me what Mr. Creed did say upon the news of my coming into his place, and that he did propose to my lord that there should be 2 secretaries, which made me go to Sir Henry Wright's, where my lord dined, and spoke with him about it, but he seemed not to agree to the motion. Hither Will Howe comes to me, and so to Westminster. In the way he told me what I was to provide, and so forth, against my going. He went with me to my office, whither also Mr. Madge comes, half-foxed, and played the fool upon the violin that made me weary. Then to Whitehall, and so home, and set many of the things in an order against my going. My wife was up making of caps for me, and the wench making an end of a pair of stockings that she was knitting of. So to bed.